Minnesota Timberwolves fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk some good old-fashioned Timberwolves basketball. Obviously, only two games to even discuss from last week. We had a great comeback against the Clippers. Now we got the season series with them. It looks like they're faltering, so that's good to know. Obviously, you know, when we last spoke last Monday, it was like, man, I hope Rudy and Slomo play. Well, they played. They played. But one of them had to come out of the game. And we now are just kind of in a dilemma of playing the waiting game with Rudy and his rib range of motion, we'll call it, injury, which it's tough to really know how long that would last. Now, we talked about how Ant, you know, ever since Cat went down and asked to step up his game, he's been doing just that. And, of course, we know Nas can score, so he's been doing that. That's him, whether he's coming off the bench or starting, and that's something we'll talk about, too. A lot of people on Twitter talk about Slomo or Nas, who should be in the starting lineup. Well, tonight, the last two nights, they're both in the starting lineup, but we'll talk about that as well. But Alexander Walker has just been, to use the old word, awesome. I mean, off the bench, this guy has been clutch, clutch, clutch. If you look at Ant, Nas, and him, took us home against the Clippers to where that wasn't even a fourth quarter game, barely. That thing was a blowout when it, you know, when push came to shove. J-Max looking good off the bench. So we're going to talk it all the way through. Then, of course, you know, talk about that Utah win, which, you know, tonight we're facing more of their real team, so we'll see how that goes. Mike Conley looks like he's back in his bag, which is good. We definitely need him. Another guy that needs to be a little bit more aggressive scoring-wise since Cat's been out. And then we'll look at, you know, the game that's going on right now. We got a little bit of a late start, so we won't go too detailed in it, but we got Denver, Cleveland, the Warriors. Well, what, you know, four games this week. You know, what will be our record, and then we'll finish with a Gophers segment per usual. You know, they ended up losing to Michigan State in the first round, but they did get the NIT berth, so that's a positive. Hopefully they can win a game or two and make it worth their while. If this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeandrope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope and Dope and download the show directly there if you don't want to. Under Rope and Dope Radio, you can find this year Timberwolves podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Google Podcasts. You can download the podcast app. Other options, Spreaker page, Living in Loserville, which directly links to Spotify. If you have Spotify out there, more and more people do. Living in Loserville, check it out. While you're at it, head on over to thegrillingtruth.com and Sports News 24. One more thing from DirecTV Stream, which, by the way, Rolling Stone named the best streaming service of 2023. You can choose the package that's right for you right now. No annual contracts, no hidden fees. The entertainment package starts at $79.99. You also have the choice in Ultimate. Either way, enjoy your live TV and streaming apps all in one place. Get DirecTV Stream. Okay, going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron. How are you doing, sir, on this lovely little nipply? The nip is back in Minnesota for about another 10 days. Looks like we're going to get some snow. No secret, it's March and April, although we always get snow no matter what happened during the winter. But how are you doing,
friend? Yeah, I couldn't last forever, right? The unseasonably warm temperatures. But we got a lot of wind and cold nonetheless. The Clipper game, Chris, was, a revelation because we didn't really know how they were going to come out and play. We thought they were going to adjust a little bit to Cat's injury and see how they could play. And then it just turned out, you know, as Ant said, that, you know, they just, the matchups, is they're too old for us, and they ran them a little bit, got back in the game, but didn't start off great. So I think I picked them to lose that just because I thought we'd be a little bit, you know, just trying to figure things out. And, that might've been the case, but they did manage to win that one.
Yeah. And remember then we're like, man, I don't, coming up that Laker game, we're like, I don't even know who's going to be in the starting lineup. So it's hard to pick that, you know? And sure enough, you know, the guys that we were unsure of did return. So that was a good sign. And what's funky about that is, you know, obviously, you know, we know Rudy got hurt in that game, but you're sitting, you know, they came out just crazy, just pretty much gangbusters. It was like 25-10 at one point, 34-21 after the first. We were 1 of 9 from three. The only guy doing anything was Alexander Walker off the bench. And early in that game, or somewhat early anyway, Nas turned his ankle, and I'm like, oh, no. No, no, but he did return. And you're sitting at, you know, 49-28, somewhere in the middle, maybe 8 minutes left of the second quarter. Now, you did see Kawhi Leonard go out. And then once it became, you know, 6 minutes, 5 minutes in that second, I'm like, huh, he might not come back. And sure enough, at half, he ended up leaving the arena. He didn't come back in that game. So when he didn't come back, the combination of him not playing beyond, I think, the first quarter is when he went out, and then us finding our groove and to shrink that lead, I think we, you know, we ended really hot, cut it to 8. It was 63-55. And I'm like, all right, dude, Ant started heating up. He hit this 3, and it kind of sparked him. And it was like, here we go. We at least cut it down to a manageable game. And then they just kept going. It was kind of weird, though. So remember the last time we were doing a show, Ant missed the start of the game because he said he lost track of time. He wasn't in the starting lineup. Well, in this game, start of the second half, there's no Ant. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Is he hurt? I mean, you know, because we're thinking everyone's getting hurt because, you know, that's how it's been lately. But that was kind of weird. They never really talked about what the hell happened, but we do need him there at the beginning of each half. That would be helpful. But the defensive effort started kicking in, and Alexander Walker was just going crazy. You know, him, Conley, and just an all-around game then. And we took over the lead, and the last stretch of that third quarter went off. I think it was 15-4 run to close in the last, like, 4 or 5 minutes of the third quarter. It was like 40-24 in the paint. We were getting to the paint. Ant had 30 by the end of the third. Conley, right at the start, it was 84-78 at the end of the third, right at the start of the fourth, hits back-to-back threes. Kicks it out to a, you know, basically a 11 or 12 point game. They call timeout. And then after that, I mean, the only negative was that's when Rudy got hurt. But, you know, Minnesota Mike hit another 3. Alexander Walker went off. And really, you know, Mike Conley, Edwards, of course, and then Alexander Walker just took us home. And it turned into one of those games where you're like, crazy comeback, but it wasn't even a fourth quarter game. That's what was so crazy about that. And it really helped us that Kawhi never came back in. So it's like, all right, if you're missing your best player, we got to take advantage of it. Well, taking advantage of it's one thing, right, Aaron? But to come around and be down by 23, and then at some point they were up by 22 points in one, you know, by a lot. I think they held them to like 15 points in the third quarter. Huge swing. So it was when Kawhi went out from that point on, 83-39, 27 point plus 27 span, went from -22 to +22, a 44 point swing. I mean, that was crazy, crazy comeback.
Yeah, the closed circuit to Timberwolves brass. We need Ant every quarter if we can, you know, barring injury. Let's just make sure we can at least see him for every quarter because that gets a little bit.
What in the hell? This is 2 games now in the week. What's going on?
Yeah, and then Alexander Walker's obviously the surprise of the week. I guess you won't say surprise because, you know, you and I have been talking for a while about we need consistent bench scoring and consistent bench playmaking. And that kid's delivered very well, at least through the last maybe month of the season. He's kind of really come on, and it's at a good time now because obviously attrition's kicking in with Rudy and Cat, and, you know, Minnesota sports is starting to rear its ugly head, and it's, you know, it's necessary. We need scores now. Defensively, like you said, that 40-point change in that game was pretty, you know, you don't see that often, and it was defense clamped down a bit and then just hitting shots. You know, if you can make shots, it's going to help a lot and help you get back into things sometimes, especially when the other team's not making shots and losing guys. So I really think that's the story of the Clipper game, but I thought defensively, I think they just said, look, we're not going to lose these guys. You know, we're younger than them, we're faster than them. And they started making shots. Now that's exception of Conley. He's old, but you know, this is the ironic thing about him is you and I have been talking all season about, you know, saving him for this part of the season, minutes and stuff wise. And here we are. And now he's going to be forced to play, probably a few more minutes every game. I know J-Mac's getting some time and playing pretty well for that matter. But now we're going to have to see guys like Luka and so on. So when we preview the next games, we'll have to talk about that. But yeah, I mean, that was a surprising game, just the way they came out. And it was like, okay, well, you know, they haven't figured it out. And then all of a sudden they flipped a switch at around halftime and just had a great third quarter, got out ahead and ended up winning that game. It's what are the Clippers thinking now? You know, when they face us, it's like, geez, they don't have Cat. They still ran us. You know, it's tough for them. We're up on the series, what, 3-1 here. The game they won, they didn't win it convincingly. I believe it was like a 2-point game, 1-point game, something like that. Mm-hmm. And they played their ass off just to stay in that game. So, yeah, it's interesting, the Clipper matchup. But I was surprised that we won. I have to say that, especially in the fashion. I think we're all just a little like taken back. But, you know, have they found out how to play without Cat? I mean, they had a lot of experience from doing it last year.
Yeah, exactly. And that definitely pays off. And another thing about that game is it was the first time we were faced in a while with possibly losing three games in a row. That's something we've talked about, too, that we have yet to lose three games in a row. We've lost back-to-back. We've always come through, and we haven't lost three games in a row since last April, so we kept that off, too. And there's no time for a four- or five-game losing streak, so you gotta get rid of that. But since 2001 season, there have been 5,500 instances of an NBA team falling behind 22 points on the road, including the playoffs. This is from OptiStats. The Timberwolves said the only one of those that came back and later got a lead by 22. So it just shows you how odd that is. And, you know, James Harden has had a solid season for the Clippers, but against us, he's averaging about 12 points, 28% field goal, shooting 24% from the three. We've been locking his ass down. And in that game, Alexander Walker missed one shot, 28 points, 5-for-6 from three, only missed one three. He was 9-of-10. And, you know, he outscored Harden and George that game. And like you said, we've been talking about it, but now it's like in this moment where we need more scoring. And even off the bench, like we said, if Nas does continue when Rudy comes back to come off the bench, well, we can't just be Nas. It could, even with Cat in the lineup, like we said, it couldn't be just Nas scoring off the bench. We need other people to step up. And, man, he has been something that he turned into a quality player. I already knew he was and all that. The guy just moves his feet so well and hustles, and he is that 3-and-D guy. He can play make a little bit. He's got these little kind of going to the lane, fade to the right, fade to the left, hit like an 8-foot jumper. He's got his little places where he likes it, but the corner three, the step back, like this dude, when it's time to turn it on, he has delivered. And it's a last couple weeks, like you said, probably a month overall, but as far as like delivering scoring, man, he's come through in like 3/4 quarters. If we didn't have him, we probably wouldn't have won those games. So it just goes to show you, we love us some Minnesota Mike Conley, but You know, Alexander Walker was in that trade too. So that has been great, man. That has been phenomenal. Then the Utah game, you know, we were pretty much in control by the fourth quarter. Luka came in with, you know, a nice shift here and there, get his points, get some fouls, go on the bench. But Conley was going off in that game. Nas and Ant got the three ball going the last chunk of the game as well. And that was nice to see. This is what's spooky about what's going on with Ant right now. His three ball hasn't been falling. But for the most part, when you look at the box score as far as his point total, you know, in March, it's been damn good. And the threes haven't been falling. He was 5 of 7. So that's something, you know, once that starts to fall too, he's going to be up 35 and 40 a lot now just because he's going to get that many more shots. But, you know, it's just one of those games where obviously shorthanded, that Utah game, they were shorthanded. So were we, but they were really shorthanded. They didn't have Markkanen. They didn't have Collins. I know those guys are playing. Their other guy, the shooter, I forgot his name, but I don't think he's playing. No spoilers, by the way. But, you know, it was a game that we had to win because they basically put out a reserve lineup. It's going to be a lot tighter tonight, in my opinion. But you know, it was a win we had to collect. And to have Aaron to play Tuesday and then get 3 days off, man, did we need that. All the players needed that rest because those back-to-back schedules have been crazy.
Yeah, and a back-to-back coming up here real quick as well. But, you know, Ant, like you said, his three hasn't been falling. Occasionally he gets a shot, but he's been playing downhill, getting to the rim a lot, going to the basket and converting his strength, his speed, his ability to do it, and just creativity around the rim is what has been doing it. He's been getting some calls still. I don't think as many as he should get, but that's a thing that we talked about last week, and we just don't know if that will ever appear. But, you know, and then Nas continuing to play steady. His role's kind of changed a little bit. But in the Utah game, Chris, it was Mike, like you said, going back to Utah, having a great game. Shooting well from three. We could talk about Jaden. You know, he needs to be hitting some more shots, but Ant, you know, and his mid-range and getting to the hoop and general floor game's going well because his defense, the way they're playing him now with Cat out and now with Rudy out, I'm sure it'll be something else too coming at him defensively. But he's adjusting. He's seeing things. Like we said in the beginning of the season, we thought maybe he needs to be able to read and react a little bit better. And it seems like through all this stuff that's going on, he's picked up so many things and he's reading and reacting a lot better and realizing how he can get. I'd like to see him do a little more pick and roll with somebody because I just think if he's going to draw so much attention, let's pick and roll it. But, you know, the scoring's going to be there. If he gets more fouls, he's going to get more points. And I really think that the way they played Utah, although Utah was down those three dudes, you know, it seems to be like the blueprint. We'll see how it goes tonight and how they play him. But right now, Ant's in charge of stuff, and it's so far successfully 2-0 week. You know, you kind of played a good team, and then you sort of played a not-so-great team. And, you know, you beat both of them, but I think it's more important that you beat Utah. A loss to them, you know, have us asking a lot of different questions. But tonight will be – if you beat them tonight – you know, I think that'll be even a better stamp. But then, you know, got a tough week coming up. When we get into preview, we'll say that. But I think overall, the adjustment will be, you know, Walker and Nas and some changed roles for Slow-Mo, changed roles for J-Mac. It's going to look a lot like it did in the stretch when Cat was out last year.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do when we're talking about Ant still scoring at a high rate, 31, 37, 25, had an off night, 44, that 13-point night where he didn't shoot that well, but 27. The other night was when he only had 11, but he only played the half the game because, remember, you know, he had to leave, which people were mad at. That is, a child was born. But the cool thing is, like, on the surface, you look at 44% from the field. You know, he was shooting 48%, and that's almost down to 46 now. So that's come down, right? And like I said, the three-point went from 39 to 37 because he's shooting 31% in March. But the free throw line, dude, 6 for 6, 6 for 6, got there 8 times, got there 5 times, got there 7 times in a game. Like, he has 4 games where he didn't miss one. And like I said, it's just case in point of it could get real spooky down the stretch if that three ball falls like it did in that last game, man. But I like that, okay, the shot's off, and that's where Conley comes in too, where he can Anna listen to him and be like, all right, dude, you're 1 of 7 now. It's all good. Leave that alone. And then, boom, like you said, he's driving to the hole. He's dishing. The turnovers. In March, he only has 1 game of 5 turnovers. I think 1 other game of 4. But for a while now, those turnovers have come down rapidly from where it was there for a little bit. So that has been key, man. That really has been key. And, yeah, it's going to take a team. We can't just say, okay, now Naz Reid and Ant are just the scorers. No, it's going to be everybody. And that includes, you know, like you said, McDaniels, who he had that monster game, I think, against Sacramento, but he's 2 of 21 from 3 and 8 of 25 overall since then. He's struggling. He's down to, it was at 39%, his 3-point. It's down to 34. I don't know, man. I don't know if he has it in his head that the expectations were higher for him this year and he's disappointed, or because they were starting to guard him like, you know, like he's not, like, go ahead, we'll give you those. And you can't have that, because the thing about Rudy is, yeah, they're not going to guard him crazy, but he's right underneath the rim a lot of the times. So, okay, if you don't guard him, or if you put a little on him or a little dude on him, at least we could just give him the ball. He can dunk the ball. But, you know, if they keep you outside and outside the paint, or if you're not confident with your shot, like we saw slow-mo earlier, and he's not the playmaker slow-mo is. So it's like the playmaker stuff, I have seen him kind of drive, like instead of taking the three, hesitate, and then drive into traffic, and then he turns the ball over, or sometimes it doesn't go down to a turnover, but he'll dribble, 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 and then give like a hand grenade to his teammate at the end of the shot clock, you know. So I don't know exactly what's going on with him. He might be just in a rut. It's hard to read the guy because he has the same expression on his face the whole time, Aaron. But I don't know if he had bigger expectations after that contract and he feels like he's not living up to it or something. The cool thing is, no matter what, the defense is there still. I mean, he still brings it, man. You can still see a highlight clip. Somebody, you know, got going after the game on Twitter, and you're like, yep, that's still Jaden.
Well, that needs to stay there, you know. That's the number one part of his game. But I always thought possibly his problem, or his problem right now, is the defenses are changing with Cat out, and not with Rudy out, but with Cat out, the spacing changes, everything changes, where he had some room to play around a little bit when they're worrying about Cat and they're worried about Ant on the floor at the same time. And now it's like, well, one of those is gone. They can pay more attention to McDaniels, and they are. That doesn't mean he, you know, no excuse for missing open shots. But I think, you know, maybe some of that is his adjustment to what's going on right now. And maybe as he's being asked to do more, and maybe that's something, a little more pressure on him. I don't know. I'm just shooting spitballs at the wall here, but he needs to get it going. Cause I think if he can get some kind of offensive game going, you know, 15, 17 a night, that, you know, takes a lot of, weight off Anthony's shoulders, a lot of weight off Nas, a lot of weight off some other guys that are asked to score a little bit, get a little bit more for him, maybe get to the line a little bit, get to the basket. You know, he needs to work on hitting that outside shot so I can get back to the basket. There's a lot of things going on with him. I think he'll work it out, but he's in a funk right now.
It's been a weird season, man, because, you know, he got hurt in camp. It took him a little bit to get going. And then he looked really good, very confident, very, just very, like, decision-making, just this is what I'm going to do on this possession. I got the ball, I'm going to do it, whether it's shooting or driving or whatever. Then he got a little banged up on his hip, came back, was playing okay. But when he went out with that ankle injury, he came back, and it did take him a while to get going. But and he strung some games together, and he had that breakout game, and I thought, okay, here it comes. But, yeah, he's been struggling, man, 2-for-21. And like I said, they're not – they're literally not guarding him. And if they can start to put a big on him, that's not good. And that's what they did with Davis. It's like, all right, dude, we'll just leave you out there. And that's the last thing, you clog up the lane and whatever. There's just so much of, whether we have Cat or not. If we have Cat, it's even worse because then you got an extra big down there guarding him. So it's just not, it just clogs up the lane for Nas, who likes to drive, but especially for Ant. Yeah, it's, we'll see, man. Hopefully he kicks out of this because, you know, that is the one thing, you know, I'll say there's plenty of quote unquote offensive players. Here's a throwback, Wally Szczerbiak. When his shot wasn't falling, the rest of his game fell apart. And you know, McDaniel still has so much responsibility on defensive end, so it is really nice that he almost channels it that way. And J-Mac, you know, he's been cooking off the bench too. His three-point shot, he's hit enough now where they're going to start to have to guard him. So it is nice to see him. And Morris is now back too off that hamstring. So that's nice, too, because he was really starting to fit in, hitting threes, getting assists, getting a hockey assist, just getting the good possessions. And also, like we mentioned, giving Conley longer stretches of breaks, and so we don't have to rely on him, you know, to the point where it's that much. So, yeah, he went off these last two games, and I really think that he's going to lean into that. By the way, very early on, another thing about that Clippers game, or wait, no, it's the Utah game, that the overhit with plenty of games left. So, you know, good old Vegas line was wrong there. So that's, you know, that's 2 out of 3 years, that it hit, for me. So that's nice. That's out of the way. We don't got to worry about that. Cause I thought it was way too low. But anyway, you know, the Rudy thing, range of motion, rip stuff. Before we hit record, Aaron made a great point of like, dude, if cortisone won't take care of that, that's at least kind of a question mark. The last two games, he wasn't even warming up. So how long would they go? Can they put extra padding there? Can they throw some duct tape on it? I don't know. Nobody make him laugh. But before we get to, you know, previewing next week, two topics. Well, the big thing is actually is the topic that's on on Twitter a lot is Nas or Slo-Mo in the starting line. But obviously, when we don't have Rudy, that there's no debate there because they're both in the starting lineup. But I haven't seen the starting lineup tonight, but that's how it's been. So I'm just going to assume that's how it went. But when Rudy's back during this time without Cat at the four, you know, a lot of people are just down on Slo-Mo, and the combination of Slo-Mo and Rudy worked pretty damn good last year. And he is more, like we mentioned, Aaron, at his four position now. But his shooting is not where it was last year. So if you have two guys that can't shoot, and then you have McDaniels that's struggling, it does make it tough. And then you talk about offense off the bench, you know, Slo-Mo off the bench or Nas off the bench. Who do you think is going to produce more offense? So I think that's easy. That's an easy one. So what are your thoughts on this debate that's been kind of raging for since Cat got hurt, put Nas in the lineup or put Slo-Mo in the lineup? I think it's a good debate on both sides. What are your thoughts on it, sir?
I've been kind of thinking of it. About it since you hit record. And you kind of talked it through there. I think we're pretty much in lockstep there. I really don't want to see Rudy and Slo-Mo as a combination down there, just not a lot of scoring, Chris. I think there might be some playmaking. There's some definite pluses you could get out of that. I think Slo-Mo can hit, you know, easy layups. He can do that stuff, but he's not going to create shots in the post that you're going to want. Not that, you know, Nas is going to necessarily do that either, but Nas is a little more active, a little more to him offensively, whether that's popping out to hit long shots or just, you know, to be active around the rim. I'm not saying that Kyle's not, but It's just that combination down there scares me a little bit, especially defensively. I think, you know, the effort would be there. I think you could probably ask more of Slo-Mo, but yeah, I'd rather see Nas in there, but then you, like you said, you're left with a deficit, I think, coming off the bench there. Would I rather see Nas off the bench or, you know, geez, it's tough. I'd rather see Nas come off the bench in the role that he's at. I think he's excelling at it. I don't want to really move him off of it. But you got to find a solution at the four, and I don't think Slo-Mo's that solution. So we can maybe move Jaden down to the four, see if he can get off offensively. I just don't know what to do there. I guess if you hold a gun to my head, Chris, and force me to make a decision, I would have to lean to, as a starter, I would open the game with Slo-Mo in a couple minutes and then go to Nas and then bring in the bench. And then when you sit the bench, bring Slo-Mo back in there for short minute stretches. I guess that's what I try to do. So I guess technically I'd start him, but I think Nas would get most of the minutes down there.
Yeah, I would. Well, obviously it's been Slo-Mo, right? But I think this is the smartest thing to at least start with Slo-Mo. Because although I totally understand what folks are saying, especially this year compared to last year, and Jaden wasn't struggling from three. I guess the only one popping from three right now is Nas and Conley. And really that's new with Conley lately. Not new, but, you know, the last chunk of games he was struggling. So I just I would go with Slo-Mo too. I think you should lead with that and then see what happens. And kind of what you're saying, but I'd still give Slo-Mo a lot of minutes, though. I don't think I'd cut his minutes, but I think it was smart for Finch to at least try this lineup. And if it's not working, we can always go to Nas. But if I was going to tweak the lineup, I would go Alexander Walker because we've seen it in short spurts without McDaniels last year in the playoffs. He played pretty good. And then even the three games or whatever that Ant has been out. And Ant's, like, came out of a couple games, too, and didn't come back. So in those times, it's been Alexander Walker. In fact, you know, at the beginning of the game and at halftime when he wasn't there, they started Alexander Walker. So
Conley, Ant, Alexander Walker, McDaniels, Rudy?
Yep.
Okay, I mean, like that.
If I was going to make a switch and then, like you said, kick McDaniels to the four, because he's at least played four. He's not the ideal four, but he's at least played it. And then you don't lose that spark off the bench, because I'm not ready to say that Alexander Walker can just spark himself, because he gets a lot of open shots kicked out to him, whereas Nas creates a lot of his own offense. Sure, he gets a lot of catch and shoot threes, but he drives so much, and he's just been, like you said, that role that he's already thriving at. It's like, yeah, tonight we'll start him, but I think it'd be smart to just keep. You got to have that. Even when Nas is going off, we needed more, you know, off the bench when we had Cat. So it's like, I would keep it how it is, but if I'm going to take Slo-Mo out of the lineup, I would go with Alexander Walker, because you're still, Slo-Mo's a hell of a defender, so you don't lose any defense. And then wing-wise, like guard and wing-wise now, if you have Alexander Walker and Dan McDaniels, talk about taking pressure, you know, off of Ant and Conley, you know, I mean, and then you have Rudy. I mean, those are three monster defenders. And then, you know, when Ant, there's a lineup that, whatever, fourth quarter, he'll usually guard someone really good or whatever, but we don't want him doing it for the full game because it's going to wear him out, even with Cat. Like Jackson Jr. from Memphis, for whatever reason, he's so fast that, well, not forever, whatever reason, Cat and Rudy are slow. And same with Slo-Mo. It's right there in the name. But for whatever reason, because they kept him outside and forced him to shoot, you know, kind of like they do to Cat and Nas a little bit, is, you know, putting Ant on Jackson, even though he's got such a height advantage, he can't get by him because he's not quick-footed enough. So it was actually a great adjustment, and Ant shut down Jackson after that, who always kills us and was killing us in that game. And I thought that was a great adjustment because it's like, all right, we'll live with him shooting threes. there'll be some nights like if he played them in a series in the future, he's going to go off in a game or two, but he's not going to live out there. And so you can always, you know, put, you know, Ant's always up for a fourth quarter guard. You know, that's just him. So that's probably what I'd do. I think Slomo brings a lot defensively too, and he's a playmaker too. I don't know.
Well, I think if Jaden can get his shot back, Chris, that would be huge. Because then you could start running your spacings again. You could start doing the things. Yep. See, everybody's clearly can score, with the exception of Rudy, but that's not what he's there for. He can still score where he's supposed to around the basket. And right. It gives a lot of offensive versatility there. I think that immediately when you said that lineup, I was thinking about Sacramento. I'm like, that'd be a nice lineup against Sacramento.
Yeah.
You're fleet of foot.
Go,
defensively pretty strong, and you can score. So, yeah, I like that too. I like the bench, although I think we need a little bit. If we're going to tweak this team at all in the offseason, it'll be on the bench. But I do like to leave the bench guys in their roles because I'm pretty, you know, we'll have to figure out what's going on with J-Mac and Morris and who's getting the minutes. And you can play them all, but you can also move Morris to the three a little bit, play that. But
sure.
I want to kind of keep Nas in his role because he's excelling. I want to kind of keep, obviously, Alexander Walker's starting lineup is not his role. But in a pinch, such as we are, I think that'd be a pretty effective lineup. I'd like to see it run a little bit. And I think, you know, Finch will probably get to it eventually, you would think.
Yeah, he has gotten to it a little bit, but I just think that Slomo, like you said, in the roles, he had a lot of this role last year. And sure, we aren't as good with him at the, you know, obviously we don't have our full team. We get it. But we were inconsistent last year, sure. But we were still a pretty damn good team. We had good wins and some great wins. We just weren't consistent because remember we had like the top four record against the good teams and then a bottom four record against the bad teams, you know. So, but that's a good point. If McDaniels hit, a lot of this would go away. But that is a good point with Alexander Walker too because of the they can get up and down way more than they could. They can spread the floor and that really opens up Nas and Anyway, all right, so we'll just kind of wait out Rudy's rib. I got to admit, I'm not a knee-jerk, you know, overreaction type guy, but I am a little worried about the range of motion, Rudy's rib. I'm a little worried about it, but, you know, it is what it is. Obviously, at Utah, they're playing right now. I'm assuming they're right around halftime or something based off the 8 o'clock start. Tomorrow, they play Denver, who's already in town, chilling. They're at Manny's right now, having a couple steaks, little butter steaks. So that's a tough game. Obviously, we're up 1-0 in the series. We have three left against them. So that's a back-to-back. After that, we only have two more back-to-backs, so that's pretty nice. And then we get 2 days off, and then we play Cleveland at home on a Friday, get a day off, and then play Golden State. I don't think that's an afternoon game. I hope not. But either way, Golden State coming into town on Sunday. So is it a chance for 3-1? Is it a 2-2 week? If there's no Rudy, could it be a 1-3 week? What says you? What are you thinking on this week, man? Do you think 2-2? You think 3-1? I mean, I hate to take, you know, 4-0 out of the question. But what are your thoughts? What's your gut telling you?
Well, Rudy's the cliffhanger, right? I mean, if we don't have him for any of these games, that changes things quite a bit, particularly against Denver and Cleveland. Look, I think it's 2-2 or sadly 1-3 here. I think you beat Utah tonight, cross fingers, knock on wood. They do have the couple guys back that we mentioned earlier. It'll change the outlook of the game a little bit. I think we still have enough to beat them. Denver's going to be tough because Jokic is big and he does what he does. If you don't have Kat, and you don't have Rudy, that leaves you with Nas, leaves you with Luka, that leaves you with Jaden, Skinny. Luka can maybe battle him, but I would say that Jokic is a bit more skilled. So that's a tough matchup against Denver. Cleveland, they beat us last time. They're plucky. They come at us. They got some guys, you know, I'd like to think we win that one, but you never know. They are home. And then Golden State depends on who shows up, you know, Curry for 40, You know, that's a possible thing. He likes to play against us. But I think you should win that one, Chris. I want to say 2-2. But I think there's a chance at 1-3 here. Obviously losing to Denver, Cleveland, and Golden State. Now that's three losses at home, probably unlikely. So I'm going to go 2-2 on this. I'm going to say you beat Utah and Cleveland. Well, let's say Utah and Golden State, and then you possibly lose to Denver and Cleveland, possibly for 3-1 if you can beat, Cleveland. That's kind of the linchpin there, I guess, but I'm going to keep it pretty much 500, go 2-2 for the week. I think that's not a total loss. But man, it'd be great to beat Denver.
Yeah, or just go 3-1, you know, because at least we're 1-1. We'd have two more games back. But like you said, like the no Rudy thing could hurt if he's all gone. You know, he's gone all week. But also what you said at the end there, you know, I don't see us going 0-3 at home. I think one of these games, you know, we have enough, you know, talent and offensive power that, you know, might get in a shootout with Golden State, you know. We do good against them, even when they were really good. We always did good against them. I still remember, I think it was rookie year or second year, and talking to Curry, saying, I think I'm going for 50 tonight, you know, after he started heating up, so he loves playing them. And then Cleveland, the difference, Cleveland will have Mitchell back more than likely. He's back now. Now, I guess he could, you know, get a little hurt or whatever. He does have a left knee bruise. So it's been kind of up and down. There's a chance he won't be there, but he has been playing lately. And then Mobley, we don't know. Strauss is pretty good too. He's been out, but Mobley, we're not sure if he'll be back in time for that game. But Mitchell has, like I said, that knee's been bugging him. So defensively, he's not where he was. There's even a quote ESPN.com article that's saying, you know, I was getting blown by a couple times because I just can't move that right. So, and that was like a couple days ago, so maybe he'll feel better. But he's sitting out Monday's game. And it says they'll rest their leading scorer a few more games so he's ready for the postseason. So does that mean, you know, until Friday, you know, the next few games? It could be. But Mobley might come back, stuff to say. He didn't play in that last game. They didn't have Mobley or Mitchell in the last game. And that's kind of why I was bummed out that we didn't win that game. But they did sign. Now, everyone, don't freak out too much, okay? They signed Marcus Morris Sr., okay? But it's only to a 10-day contract. So, if Mobley came back, maybe they wouldn't, you know what I mean? Maybe they wouldn't have him. If Strauss comes back, they probably wouldn't have him, and then maybe we could still pick him up. But who knows? Who knows? But yeah, I'm with you. I think it'll be 2-2. I think you have to put 1-3, like you said, on the table. If we come out of this 3-1, that would be damn good. Shit, even with Rudy, that would be great if we were 3-1. But yeah, I feel like we could maybe go 3-1 with Rudy, but I'm going to go 2-2 as well. I'm with you, 2-2. Just the confidence, you know, maybe come Friday if Rudy's back, do these predictions. Again, we'd have a different feel to it if we're 1-1 or whatever, but that is not the case. What is the case, though, is the Gophers are going to the they're going to the NIT. You know, in the 70s, the NIT was a big tournament.
They're going to a tournament.
Yeah, they're going to a tournament. Well, it's the national invitation. So, I mean, that just sounds nice. And plus, dude, we got three belts, dude. We run this tourney. So they did lose to Michigan State. You know, they got off to a good start, hot start, you know, and kind of a back-and-forth first half. The rest of the first half, we were up like 21-14 or something and led just by a little bit. Pretty good start, I would say, to the second half. And midway through, Sparty just took a lead and they just never gave it back. I think it got to 41-33 and we just never could get it back. We were struggling from the free throw line, something we did earlier. Payne, who's been great, Not so much in that game. He had 7 turnovers, if I recall, 6 or 7, something like that. And so, you know, we did get booted out of the tourney mighty early. But we are playing Butler tomorrow night in Indianapolis. So, you know, at least we got into the NIT. And if we are able to beat Butler, more than likely we play Indiana State. And Indiana State was like the highest, you know, first four out. They were one of the teams that didn't make it, obviously. But they have a high net ranking. So a lot of people thought that they could sneak in there. And they got this really funny dude that is on their team that's very effective. I don't know. I'm not saying he's going to play in the pros, maybe in Europe. But he's not the second coming of Larry, I'll say that. But he's a funny dude. But he's got a game. He's got a game, especially at the college level. So that would be difficult. But I'm just, you know, overall, we didn't fit. We didn't start. Like, we started pretty well. The Big Ten, we started well. We kind of faltered, had that 4 or 5 game losing streak. Then we got it going again. Didn't really play all that well down the stretch, Aaron. And so it was kind of a bummer how we finished the regular season. Couldn't get at least just one win in the Big Ten tourney that was here in Minneapolis. But it sure would be nice to get another game past this. But regardless, I still think this is a successful season based off having, you know, 2 wins in the Big Ten last year.
Yeah, we talked about last week about, like, whether we thought it was successful, improvement, what have you. Look, NIT's NIT. I've been struggling, Chris, to try to figure out what was that system that Patino used to talk about. It's like pairwise in hockey, but it's something else. It's a rating system, like you brought it to mind when you were talking about what Butler is ranked at. And I can't remember it, though, so I'm just going to leave it alone. But it's one of those fancy metrics that Patino used to talk about. That's it, Ken Palm. I just thought it was funny. I went, you go along with it. Nonetheless, look, NIT's NIT, and we thought all year, like, are they going to make the NIT? Can they make the NIT? And for a little week there, we thought, can they make the tournament? And that, you know, slowly died at the end of the year. I think it's a successful year, Chris, compared to last season, like you said. Obviously, you want to get a win here against Butler. That'd be great. I was very disappointed they didn't make their way to the championship Big Ten tournament. I thought there's a possibility of that at home, but that didn't work out either. So, you know, what do you say? Make a run here, you know, in the NIT if you can. If not, let's say you're out. We're 1-and-done in the NIT. All right, pack it in and get ready for next year. There's been rumblings about NIL and all that stuff, and maybe we'll get into that at a different time, but. You know, it's things are changing. It's just all changing, football, basketball, everywhere, and NIL's doing a lot of stuff. And I hope he can keep most of this squad around. We thought that's a pretty good possibility that he can do so, but you never know now. And Christie's story is a whole other thing. I know Royce was saying, like you said, that enjoy the G League. And maybe it's a little early for him, but, you know, things happen. I'd like to see him back if you can keep this squad together. I think you're looking at a tournament team next year and not, you know, NIT, but the dance. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, Johnson on the hot seat and why did we fire Patino? I've seen a lot of that this week. And, you know, I think he's doing okay. Keep him around a little bit. Let's see how he handles this offseason, how it goes. Because you're going to bring some new blood in. And if you can replace anything you lose, well, then you're in pretty good shape. But you'd like to see some of these guys develop and stay with you because I think the future is pretty bright.
Yeah, definitely. We'll go over some of the Dawson Garcia, Cam Christie, and all that stuff. Even Fox off the bench, the guys, you know, had a hell of a time these last 2 years prior to this year with the injury. And I know it takes a lot of work just to get to the place where he can play each game. They did a Gophers podcast, they did a little segment on that, and it was like, damn, dude, like, you know, a day or two before the game, he's limping around. So, you know, he may just be like, you know, I don't want to do it anymore. But, you know, maybe he wants to try Europe, and it's like, do another year of going through pain, you know, when I can maybe make it in Europe, or who knows what's on his mind. So, yeah, we'll definitely get into that. Hopefully we won't get into that next week, all right? That means we won some games. But tomorrow night, Butler, it's a winnable game. Yeah, we'll see. Why don't you get us out of here, sir?
Well, you want to get to the show, as you all know, because you're listening, catch it anywhere you catch your podcasts. The home base is Rope-A-Dope Radio. Lots of good content on there. If you're a boxing fan, there's plenty of stuff for you. Speaking of boxing, there's a fight coming up that, you know, you and I didn't talk off air, but I wanted to get to with this Tyson thing. But I guess there's some weird rules nonetheless. I'm sure you'll be covering that in one of your shows. Get the College Ball Show. We'll probably be popping on for a pre-draft show for the Vikings Purple People Eater podcast. So stay tuned for that. Nonetheless, let's hope that the Gophers can win at least one of these NIT games and maybe a few more. We can talk about them next week. And let's just hope we get 3-1, because that'd be beautiful for the Wolves. Until then, peace.